All right. This schmooze is in memory of my grandmother and my wife's grandmother, whose yahrzeits are both this week, Charna Devora Bas Shlomo HaKohen and Mindel Bas Bi Mordechai. All right. Purim. Purim's it's in the air. It's coming up. Whether one likes it or one doesn't like it, it's coming up. There's we go to a shir by Rav David Gottlieb every Shabbos, and he was saying yesterday that usually, so this year it's not as simple, but usually what one will do on Purim Suda, I think of everyone I've ever gone to in my life, is you'll daven mincha, say at 1:30, and you'll start the Suda 2:33, 3:30, whatever, and it'll go start mostly during the day, and then it'll go into the evening, so it'll go into Tesvav. Let's just say, Shkia is 6 o'clock, whatever. Say 6:30, it'll end at 7:30, and it goes into Tesvav. So he said there were 9 reasons why it's a good thing for Purim to go into the next day. He only delved on one of them, but it's a very nice idea that the whole point of Purim is really, it's not, the whole point is not to just go get drunk out of your mind and, wake up like the following Tuesday and not knowing what's happened last 72 hours. That's not the whole point of Purim. The whole point of Purim is to reach an incredible, incredible high, incredible heights of Kedusha, and to take that with you. So we actually want to go into Tesvav. We want to go into the next. It's not an idea of Shushan Purim of having to connect that. It's an idea of going into the next day. That what the Kedusha we took out of Yedalid, we want to take with us into Tesvav. So I think the yeshiva is not doing it. And probably halachically, it's not so great to do Purim Mekadesh, which would basically mean to start the Suda as close to Shabbos as possible, and then to go into Shabbos. I think they're having the Suda during the day, and then they're going to have whatever, get ready for Shabbos. But so since we can't literally do that this year, but to definitely figuratively to take everything that we get from Purim, all the Kedusha of Purim, and to take that into Shabbos, and then, God willing, take that into the rest of our lives. And it shouldn't just be, oh, it's one day, like, a party and, having fun. And I mean, you should party and you should have a lot of fun. And it should be a very joyous occasion, but it should be an occasion where we really are, taking what Purim has to offer with us. So Purim has a lot of milos. Perhaps the greatest milo of Purim is the power of tefillah, the power of what we can accomplish through our davening on Purim. So there is an idea, that's a known idea, that there's a time and place for everything. I tell it to my kids, maybe you tell that, you've been told that, maybe people here, there's a time and place for everything. And a lot of times we try to combine everything into one, but there's a time to learn, there's a time to daven. So I'm not so good at that. During downtimes during davening, I don't view that as like other times to just daven slower. I view that as times to, either learn or to think idlessly, but I don't view that as just a time. But really, the truth be told is there's a time for davening. And on Purim, perhaps more so than any other day during the year, there's an incredible, incredible time for tefillah. So during those times, starting at Maariv on Thursday night after the fast, and going to Shacharis on Friday morning, then Mincha on Friday afternoon, and hopefully not being totally intoxicated where you can't daven, is to really understand that there's a, in the Hilchos Hoshana Rabbah in Siman Tuf Reish Samach Dalet, the Shari Tshuva brings down that there's 5 days during the year where one wants to daven Vasikin. We obviously know, people should daven Vasikin every day, but I guess it's hard for people. We obviously know that Vasikin is the best time to daven. So on days where davening is really important, we want to daven Vasikin. So the Shari Tshuva brings down the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah, Purim, and Tisha B'Av are the days to daven, to really daven Vasikin. It's taken in Eretz Yisrael, it's taken much more seriously. The Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, especially in Hoshana Rabbah and Purim, which is also common in other places as well, there's a ton and ton of Vasikin Minyanim. I don't know about Tisha B'Av. I haven't done this past Tisha B'Av. I was in Bidud, but I did daven Vasikin, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but those days are days, are special days of tefillah. So one of those days are Purim. So because we know there's such a great, great idea to daven on Purim, to really give it our all, we want to daven Vasikin. So yeah, you'll be tired. I mean, again, it'll be even harder this year. It's not like in past years, okay, daven Vasikin and get a little nap. It'd have to be a really, really little nap this year, but it's definitely, I would say it's more kedai to daven Vasikin Purim morning than to watch the Shpiel. I don't know if there is a Purim Shpiel, but if there is a Purim Shpiel, it would probably be more kedai to do that. There's a halacha brought down in Hilchos Purim that on Perm, if any person asks you for money, you have to give them money. So usually, I don't know if people do it so much or not, if people either give or they don't give, but you know, our money is valuable. We do value our money. Sometimes, you know, we think we're taking our money to our graves. So sometimes we're too overprotective, and other times we don't watch it at all. But we should care about our money. You know, we work hard. You know, you guys will be at a point in your lives so you'll work hard to make money, and you should care for your money. So if somebody comes and tells you, "I need $1 million for this," you shouldn't be like, "No, $1 million. Okay, let me give you $100,000 without thinking about it." That obviously would never happen, but let's even say on like, you know, more realistic level, let's say I'll give $1 or $5, which we probably would do without thinking. Okay, we should think a little bit, but comes Purim, somebody comes and they put out their hand, you don't just give them five, you know, you could give them five too, but you know, you have to, maybe now you shouldn't. You know, for next year when you guys are doing Chazara of this and you're listening again, we won't know if COVID means Hashem. So then we can. So you don't only just give them five. You have to give them money also. So the Chasam Sofer has a beautiful idea. They're like, well, it's not fair. You know, let's say in certain places, being like in America, I'd go to the bank before Perm. I'd get like 100 singles, and then come like Perm night, I'd have like 98 of those singles. Because you don't see any of them. But I remember last year and the year before here, it's definitely more common. So I might have a tie. I'm like, you know, let's say, you know, do a check on it, it's 500 bills, whatever, but like, it could be a lot of money, it's not fair, why'd I have to get rid of so much money, so the Chasam Sofer says, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws us one here, throws us a real bone, he tells us, you know, the same way, if someone asks you for money, you have to give them money, you can't ask questions, cause Purim, you can ask me for anything you want, and you're not leaving empty-handed. So, I'm not going to say that that's like the most. It's a beautiful vort. It happens to be it's not 100% emes because everyone can say like, "Oh, I asked for things." I'm sure people asked last year in Perm. You know, God, this COVID that's like, you know, sort of starting to emerge. You know, maybe don't have it come, but we've seen what happened the last year. So clearly it does. But I know for myself personally, I've had big feelings for myself and other people that have gotten answered. So and more so than like on other days, I've definitely seen the koach and the power of what the tefillahs can be. But it's an idea, like, don't ask for little things. Think about really, really big things. It's an opportunity to ask for really, really big, you know, on a personal level, on a communal level, you know, on a, you know, family level, you know, whatever it might be, but to really chop that this isn't a stam day. This isn't a day that, you know, like today, you know, we could have, you can really be feeling it at Mincha. Two things are going to happen. Number one, you're inherently going to feel it more on Purim than you felt it today. And two, Hashem is literally there. So somebody already say that, well, I don't know if this is what, you know, would be so sourced, but already tomorrow when it's Yud Aleph, as we know from the opening Mishnah and Megillah, the Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tesvav, are all days where we could where it could be Purim. So maybe already tomorrow, the power of Tefillah is more here, but definitely on Yadala when with Poshet Yad is, or for us on Yadala when Poshet Yad is, you know, full in force, as really on Friday, Thursday night and Friday, is really the day to bring our A game. I'm just gonna say, and I know you guys want to get to the CM, so we'll make sure to end by two. I'll just say a few ideas in general on that Tefillah on Purim. Let's say a few ideas on Tefillah. When I was Shana Aleph, there was this guy from Vancouver. He's a Baal Tshuva. He sat next to me, and he would tell me that he thinks davening is like the best thing in the world. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, if you'd grown up in the modern Orthodox world, you know, you wouldn't be saying that. You know, but he was like, what are you talking about? What could be better? Three times a day, it was averaged 6 minutes a day of Shemone Esrei, 6 minutes Shemone Esrei, 18 minutes a day, you and God. And in a quiet room, no less. Like, what? And Shana Ben Mincha, you know, you guys take it really seriously. It's like a really nice Mincha. What can be better? That opportunity, just being with God, like, what can be better? I'm like, again, if you'd grown up in the world I grew up in, you may see it differently. But he's 100% right. And like, it really is the most incredible. And I guess to the idea we said that, like, davening needs to really be set aside for davening. This has nothing to do with, like, with minyan. This is just, you know, our alone, like, our time when we're communicating with the Borei Olam, our time with Hashem, to really realize, what's a greater bracha than that? Like, we really get it three times a day to just stand and dive into God, to plead to God, to ask God. Like, we're talking to Him one-on-one. And like Shimon Ezra is really getting every, you know, even though, you know, we're almost just, sometimes we're just so in our own mind, that our own world, that, you know, we feel like, oh, really at the end of the day, is it just the end when I'm able to make my own bakashas? But really, Shimon Ezra is formulated so beautifully, and davening as himself, but Shimon Ezra, that it really is encompassing everything. We're really getting towards, we're getting to touch on everything. And it's really just, it's incredible. It's really just incredible. I remember on in June, date here, but I remember it was June 12th, but June 12th of 2014, when Eyal Yifrach, Yilash Ha'ir, and Naftali Frankel, the three boys were taken, and as we would learn, I think about a month later, they were really killed right away. There was never a moment that they were alive. They were literally dead. From the minute it went around and everyone was diving in the unity of Klal Yisrael, they were dead. But yet somehow it came for a month. People were pouring out their hearts. I remember thinking to myself, like, there, I never at that point wanted to be in Israel more than at that time. Like, I really felt like I was lacking, that I wasn't that I wasn't in Israel. I was like really I felt something was missing. And everyone was happening for them. And it came out a few months later that the plan of, the terrorists, Machshamo, their plan was on Rosh Hashanah, they're building underground tunnels and they wanted to blow up a lot of shuls in Rosh Hashanah. And ended up being, their plan didn't work out. It got intercepted, it was found out, and the IDF blew up their plans in their face, and they never got to do it. And you think to yourself, the idea of Rav Pinkus says that our tefillahs are always, it may not be answered, but there's a bank of tefillahs. So you may daven today, and Benji's tefillahs may not get answered, unfortunately. It may not happen. But only in our heads do they not get answered. In essence, they did. They did. They're going to get answered. They just didn't get answered that exact second. But they're going to get answered. They're going to get answered later on. And with all these tefillahs, and it may have been that, like, such a plan to, you know, blow up hundreds and hundreds of shuls, that's not going to be, one person can't do that. It's the same, and it may still be. It may still be with COVID. And even get, oh, Mordechai HaTzadik. It may still even be with COVID, or even just getting the vaccine so quickly, and everything that, you know, at least it looks like in Eretz Yisrael, we're on the right track. That's because, that's not one person's field. One person couldn't possibly have the power and responsibility. But it's so many fields that go into the bank that are able to have Hashem be able to do whatever he needs to do. And so often this happens, that we're diving now, oh, it didn't get answered. But we don't know. We don't know the effect of what got answered, you know, in San Jose, or in Calgary, or in London, or in, you know, in Katamon, or wherever, in Teaneck, New Jersey. You know, we have no idea. We have no idea how much is able to do. And even in general, in tefillah, you know, Mordechai might feel, you know, sometimes he'll get up, he'll daven, he's like, oh, but it's not getting answered. Like, I don't know, what should I do next year? Like, what yeshiva should I learn in? What should I be doing? Like, I don't know, Hashem, you're not giving me the clarity. And there's a family we know, I know, who unfortunately married for a long time and not yet been blessed with children. And for years been davening for them, for years, hoping that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer my tefillahs. And at times I would think to myself, you know, God, you know, I get it. Like, you know, if I daven, you know, I daven, God, let me win the lotto. Or let me just be really, really rich so I don't have to work anymore. My kids don't have to work. My grandkids don't have to work. Or future grandkids, it's Hashem. So I can sort of get, like, why a world can't work, that can't get answered. That makes a lot of sense to me. Like, what does that mean? I just ask God, like, first of all, that's not how a world can work. That, okay, we're all going to daven for that. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. And I even get when, like, I ask for stuff for myself. Like, okay, you know, I'm just davening for myself. Like, I get that. But, you know, John gets a Shmon essay from Mara tonight. You know, he starts thinking to himself after this. Like, you know, Mark was making some good points about maybe thinking of other people for tefillah. And also, like, right around Purim time, anyway, I want to think of things. I daven for, you know, I know that a 27-year-old in California who hasn't yet gotten a shidduch, and I start davening for her. And then John, or a guy, and then John thinks in 2 years, you know, why is that person? That person's 29, is still single. Like, God, what's your deal? I'm not even diving for myself. I'm diving. What should give you more nachas? And I'm asking for somebody else. So, okay. It's hard for me too when HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer my tefillahs. And for years, I'm diving for this couple. Like, I don't get it. God, I'm asking you to do them. It's not for me. Okay, you don't want me to. You want me not to get this. I'm diving for myself. Okay, I get that. I'm happy for them. What's up, Shad? What's up, Shad? And I was like really thinking, past Rosh Hashanah, I was really thinking like, God, like, I don't want to say, oh, we're going to give God an ultimatum. You know, can anything possibly be stupider? Like, I can't think of anything in the world that would be stupider than I'm going to tell God, you know, if you don't answer this, like, you know, I'm done. Like, you have to answer me. But I was really thinking to God, I'm like, really thinking during Rosh Hashanah, like, God, we gotta make it happen. This year, this is a year. COVID, but, you know, everything, like, we need chizik more now than ever. You know, when things are good, you don't need as much. But now more than ever, we need chizik. And last week, they called us, they told me and my wife that they're expecting. They're married for a long time. And they're Amir Tzachem expecting everything should go well. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and so what was the one tefillah? It could have been that I need to have 500 tefillahs. And this person needs to have 200 tefillahs. Because we don't know how it's going to work. But there's a bank. It's in the bank. Mordechai, your tefillahs aren't going empty. They're not going empty. Our tefillahs really matter. Our tefillahs really matter, and they're really changing what's going on in the world. And it may not happen at that first second, which is totally fine. It doesn't have to get answered in the first second. But, you know, over time, and what tefillah does, even on a stronger level, when we start davening, you know, not only for ourselves, when we're davening for other people, it gives us a real sense of, wow, I really feel like I'm, Klal Yisrael is like, we're a unit, we're a team, because When in my tefillah, you know, I start thinking about, guys that have been in the yeshiva in the past, or you guys, or anybody else, like, I'm not only davening for myself, I don't want to say selfish, because, you know, we all need Hashem to help us, like, you know, we can't do anything, you know, Hashem's the whole world, like, you know, he's in control of everything, we're just pawns, so I need him for everything, but for myself, there's enough I need for myself. But when I start davening for other people, and, you know, you want this person's tzar to end, you want that person to, you know, get some sort of Yeshua, and this person to be healthier, it makes us really conscious and think about the whole world, and what's a bigger bracha for that? Then we're not only about ourselves. You know, during my, and you know, a lot of times, like, you know, it'll be even, you know, I happened to call him out. I thought when I walked in here today that this was exactly how we left it last week. Kind of crazy if you think about that. And then Benji said, no, he brought it in. But he wanted to do things humbly. So, like, if I had never said that to him, no one would have known. He would have just done it by himself. And we do that a million times a day. We do tons and tons of chesed that people never know. And Shmona Esrei, that's exactly, but sometimes we do what people do know. So that takes a little bit away from you. But Shmona Esrei, like, no one knows. I'm not telling Mordechai I'm dying. He has no idea. He literally has no clue if I'm davening for him, if other people are davening. So when you start davening, like, you think about your community, you think about people you know who are just going through, or sick, or having trouble having children, having, you know, whatever, you know, tekufa, you know, of your friends of yours who could be going through hardship. Like, you know, you start davening for them, they would never know, and it's totally on you, because there's no like, oh, look at me, like, you know, it's not like you're going to get a bang on the Thursday night, bang on the beam, and I'm making the seal, and everyone's going to know it's you. Like, there's me, oh, John made the seal, oh, that's chashuv. Benji gave him an intro of all intros. You know, that's like really chashuv. But when it comes to tefillah, no one knows. You're just doing it. It's literally the only people in the world that know that you're diving for somebody else are you and Hashem. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. And once you start doing that, like, you're having a special connection with Hashem, and you're putting the whole world on your shoulders. And what can be better than that? So I would really suggest each and every one of you for this week to really, really think about what do we really need? What do I need for myself? What do I need for my world? What do I need for my friends? Whatever it might be. And come Purim, Thursday night and Friday, to really, really maximize tefillahs. Like, we don't get that. Like, there's always, I said this so many times, I really believe by this. I couldn't act today like it's Elul. There's a different Avira. Like, there's just, it's just different. Like, now is the power of tefillah. When it comes to Elul, I'm thinking of tshuva. Like, you're thinking of, sin. Like, when you're in ER, like, you couldn't just act like, it couldn't be Kol Nidre. It couldn't be Ne'ilah at those times of the year. There's a reason Ne'ilah is Ne'ilah. But now is the power of tefillah, to really think about what are things that we need. Hashem is here. He's waiting for you to open up your heart. He's waiting for you to pour out with tefillah on the night of Purim, on the day of Purim, to really, really make it the most, have maximize your tefillahs. And Hashem can answer it. But like everything in the world, without preparation, there's no kedusha. And without preparation, you just come into, like, you don't want to be, you know, like, sort of like on the, you know, it'll be after the fast, you'll be tired, but okay, whatever, like, you know, you're going to have to fight through. So, like, you'll come to, like, the end of Shemoneh Esrei, right? And you're going to want to, like, think, you're going to be like, oh, God, I really want to pour out my heart to you now. But I don't know what I need, because I didn't think about it, you know? It would sort of be like the same thing, you know? That point, Shemoneh Esrei and Purim and not knowing what to ask for would be the same exact thing as if you're walking the street right now and your pants come down. Because you basically just had your pants come down before God. That's what happened, because now you have an opportunity to ask Hashem for anything you need, for big, big, major, major things. And where was it? It totally, you know, you totally got caught with having nothing. So Mirtz Hashem, this should be a very, very powerful and strong Purim. I think the Friday Purim people remember better just because it's more unique. And going into Shabbos, and like you feel like it's just different as opposed to, you know, if it falls out on a Wednesday and then, you know, whatever happens Wednesday night and Thursday. So it should be very, very special. It should be very real, and we should really take in that tefillah is a major, major component of the day. And the power of tefillah is just at, it's at a high. It's at a high. Like, have that be the day where, you know, you're really planning, you're really asking for big things, and plan accordingly. All right, shkoyach.